Now, welcome to this roundtable discussion in Athy, discussing the positive work being done within the town and surrounding areas, as well as the challenges that's facing the town. I'm joined today by a mixture of political, community and voluntary groups, including Labour Senator Mark Wall, Councillors Aoife Breslin and Mark Lee, Fine Gael Councillor Ivan Keatley, Fianna Fáil Councillor Vera-Louise Behan, Sinn Féin Rep Thomas Redmond, Colm Walsh of Maid of Athy and Anthony Wise from the Willow Counselling Service here on Woodstock Street. Fianna Fáil Councillor Brian Dooley sends apologies as he's unavailable. You're all very welcome to the programme. We might start off by just opening it to the floor today in relation to Athy. This was a town that was once booming. Some would say it is still booming. Others would say it has lost that boom. And I heard somebody say it on the radio only recently, it's a town that's dying. Do you agree it's a town that's dying? If not, why not? Who wants to take that first? Senator Mark Wall, Labour Senator Mark Wall.
Thanks very much, Owen. I believe the town has never been its best place to rise again. There's absolutely no doubt that the road has been a sea change in relation. The town has waited almost 40 years. Some people would tell you 50 years, some 60, depending on who you're talking to. But the town has changed completely over that time. So I disagree that the town is dying. I believe we're going to see a very bright new future for the town of Athy. And I tell you why I'm going to say that. Because basically, as I've said on your show over the last couple of weeks and indeed months, people want to now invest in Athy. We actually have a position where there's not enough industrial warehousing and space available in Athy at the moment to the people who want to come here and set up. And a lot of those people, Owen, are actually people who are actually from Athy. They want to come, they want to invest in their town, they want to see their jobs created in the town. And we've been working, and what this is all about tonight is positivity. Everybody in this room wants the best for Athy. Everybody wants to see Athy grow. I believe we're far from dying. Athy is going to rise again and rise very quickly. And the fact that we have an application in for a new industrial park is a major plus for this town. I drove in tonight by the new Monster factory. To see that rising up there, that is very important. That an international brand has actually seen the potential that's in Athy.
So some good news at the moment. But what about those who would say that for years Athy has been forgotten? The bottom of the town, Athy, Castle Dermot, often forgotten about. Ivan Keatley, Fine Gael councillor.
Of the group here, I probably live the furthest away from Athy, but represent obviously everybody from the Athy area. And you know, I was raised on stories of Athy being the market town of South Kildare. It was the spot, you know, it was what I suppose you could describe Newbridge as being now, because that's where people go to do their shopping from my part of the world. They don't come down to Athy by and large because of congestion, as Mark has outlined, and because of all of the various issues, because I suppose the lack of growth essentially, that a lot of people that live in Athy feel that it essentially missed the Celtic Tiger, that because of congestion, because of, you know, lack of growth, etc., that there was just a stagnation. I do agree with Mark, you know, that, you know, where Athy was is where Athy needs to get back to. Mm. Absolutely. And you know, that centre of commerce, I believe Athy can get there because it now has an opportunity. You know, when I work in the building industry and I see Newbridge thriving, I see Naas thriving in terms of residential housing being built as well as industrial parks popping up. You know, that's only starting now. You know, it's spreading out from Dublin and it's only starting as we speak. There are estates with commencement notices going in Athy.
No and denying the level.
And just because we're a little bit behind, I suppose, doesn't mean we can't catch up for all the reasons that Mark mentioned.
No denying the level of dereliction there is in the town, though. I mean, just driving in, no matter what side of the town you come in from, there are quite a number of buildings that are derelict. What do you think that's put down to? Is it maybe some businesses deciding that they just wanted to leave the town, or
no?
What? Labour Councillor Aoife Breslin.
To be positive, and we have to be positive about Athy, we have to sell Athy for what it is. And Mark and Ivan have both hit on an awful lot of good stuff that's going on. You look at the amount of investment that's been put into this town at the moment. You look at the Shackleton Museum, hopefully the Emily Square regeneration. There's a business here in town that we were dealing with recently who has now increased up to, I think, 70 employees. Monster American Flavours, as we said. You know, we've Pearson's here as well who have taken on. So there's very good news stories around the place. And maybe we're not so good ourselves as selling the good news story. Yes, for a long time, maybe there was issues over trying to get in and out of the town. I know I was talking to a local manager here in the town recently, and he tells me his business is up 30% since the road opened. So Athy is open, you know, and we now just need to focus on it. Why is there a lot of dereliction? You know, I suppose we've always had quite a lot of independent shops in the town of Athy, but I really think, you know, if you travel to other towns, and I'm not going to name them because I'll have people ringing your programme up giving out, it's very similar to other towns. The days of a lot of independent shops, you know, Athy is a long, long town. Perhaps it's too long for the amount of shops or units that are through it, and maybe we need to consolidate that. And I will say, to be fair, Kildare County Council have a very good grant system for shop fronts and regenerating shops. But yes, the retail sector is one of them we have to look at. But if you go into one of the major supermarkets here, or even any of the supermarkets here, you will see the amount of footfall that's going through them nowadays. Like, people before, previously, say in Dunbrain or Cornard, they would go to Carlow to shop. They don't go to Carlow to shop. They do their grocery shopping now in Athy, because they can get in and out of the town.
Okay, Thomas Redmond as well, I want to get your views on this. I know there was some good news in relation to St Vincent's Hospital recently, and we've heard some of the other good news stories.
Dereliction, in my view, in my personal view, and I worked here for many years around this town, work with many of these people sitting around the table here. I think there has been, there isn't the appetite from the council to either work on CPOs, on dereliction, or on the other, some of the other issues that are happening. But you can see properties down the town that have been left vacated for some time. You can see properties owned by the local authority, housing in particular, that's left in a derelict state for some time.
Okay, what about the councillors then that are serving on the council? Vera Louise Behan has her hand up.
I know the council is working on this. They are CPO on some properties. There are incentives in place for dereliction and funding there from central government. And that's a process that takes time. Each individual case stands on its own merits and its own situation, their own properties. But just to touch a little bit on what on what Aoife was saying, with regards a Thai, like its history and how it is placed now, we actually have a quite unique selling point in the very south of Kildare. It's the jewel of Kildare as far as I see it. We don't have the turbine industry. Mm. We don't have the tech industry that other towns in the county have. But we have a unique rural landscape. We have the river. I mean, our waterways are fantastic and they're going to be developed as time goes on. And that's a huge tourism catchment. I mean, our first tourist office opened in 1992. You know, and that was pushed on ahead, and there was a tourist office in Kildare Town at that time as well, and that was pushing on with the thoroughbred end of things. But Athy is very much so open for business, and just like Senator Wall spoke about businesses coming to him, we've all been approached by people who now see here as more a tourism opportunity and a business opportunity, and that's growing all the time.
Okay. You know, I want to get the views of Colm Walsh of Maid of Athy, and Colm, we'll talk a little bit more about your project in a moment, but you've lived in this town for quite some time. You know the people who have passed through it. You will have seen changes here in the town. Listening to what some of the councillors have said here, what's your reaction to it?
I mean, in a funny sort of way, everybody's right. I've lived in Athy all my life, and that's nearly 60 years now. You know, when I was growing up, there was big industries, and the wallboard was a big industry, maybe 500 people working in it. Tegra at that stage would have had 200, 300 people working there. Minch's would have had... That's gone, and it's not coming back. And what I think we need to do is kind of look to ourselves to find, you know, the answers here. I mean, Athy should be attracting an awful lot of outside people to live, because, I mean, the housing is so much cheaper here. And we haven't got a great strategy for the people who have moved here, for integrating them into us and becoming part of us and being part of the solution going forward. But I do think, I have to say, all the councillors and all the politicians they've got the right approach. You know, they are people who work together. And I'd be much more optimistic about the future of the town.
Okay, let's talk then about the new road, because a lot of people are saying that, well, we were waiting 40 years for the new road to come into Athy, but this is now a springboard for not only business, but for people to actually live here and want to move to Athy, because, you know, the days of, well, we're looking for a house in Selbridge or Leixlip or Naas, are they gone now? And are people wanting to live in the south of the county, particularly around Athy? Labour Senator Mark Waugh.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think what you've said, Owen, is that people now see Atai, because today when you go down the centre of Atai, you can actually do business. It's already been said, and this was a problem before, and that has only been fixed by the new road. So now you can go into the bank as I did today. There's plenty of parking around. Actually, Atai has more public parking than any other town in County Kildare. That message needs to be go out there. Just on the integration piece, it's only when we sit down, and we will do that tonight, to tell you how what's actually available in Atai, the amounts of sports clubs, the amount of youth clubs. We need to emphasise that a little bit more, and we need a huge integration piece. And Colm has hit the nail on the head in that. The Mayor of Atai has brought what happened to us before, in that the people had to leave this great town to go to all the various parts of England and elsewhere. Now, I feel that they're going to come back, and Colm has started a project in relation to that, and we have a big concert coming up. We're inviting people back because we now have some new housing estates being built, and we have the opportunity, as I said, to put Atai back on the map where it has been before. And no doubt that everybody is correct and everybody has their opinion in that, but I feel the positivity in Atai, and I speak to a lot of people every day when I walk up and down that town, and people now are beginning to sing the praises of Atai because they can see the difference the road has made. Mm. As the question you asked, Owen, they see the opportunity. If you walk the road at night, and I'm sure everyone in this room has, you will come up to 100 people each night, no matter what hour you do it, you will meet at least 100 people walking that road. It is absolutely brilliant, but that also gives us the potential for new housing and indeed, most importantly, for new employment. And that is the key to the future of Atai.
You mentioned some of those community groups and organisations that are doing great work within community, and indeed the building that we're standing in today is the Willow Counselling Service, which is here on Woodstock Street. And if you go to Anthony Wise, the chairman of Willow Counselling, Anthony, thanks for joining us as well. Tell us a little bit about what you do here, the work that you do, and how you give back to society, I suppose.
Willow was founded by Sharon Malloy. Unfortunately, Sharon can't be here tonight. She's away, because Sharon would be well placed to talk about not only the drug issues in Atai, but all the social issues that, you know, go hand in hand with some of those issues. The biggest problem we're seeing at the moment is we can't get enough funding. As you say, we have a fine building here in Willow. And we're only using about 40% of its capacity at the moment, because we only have enough funding to keep two counsellors going. We had to close our doors for 6 weeks last year. It looks like we might have to close our doors for a period again this year. And at the same time, we've a growing problem with drug addiction. Well, not only drug addiction, but with mental health issues, with gambling issues, and Willow caters for all of those. But I'm sure, along with Willow and the other charities, because of the lack of industry in the town, corporate sponsorship is another issue where you can't get funding from any of the big major companies. Like, you know, I was in JAD a few years ago up in Jobstown, and you know, they're partnered with Johnson & Johnson. And, you know, half their board is made up of Johnson & Johnson. They're funded heavily by the board, and they're funded heavily by the HSE.
Okay. Let's pick up then on what Anthony is saying in terms of the social issues within the town. And when you talk about 14% unemployment, the drug and alcohol issues that are here in the town, Mark Lee, I might come to you, Labour councillor as well. While we can talk about the positives, we can't ignore or brush over what Anthony has said here in the town.
No, absolutely. And Anthony and Willow and Sharon here are doing a fantastic job in relation to drug issues of young girls in Atai. And there are issues, as with every other town, but Atai has its drug issues. It has generational unemployment. And I think it's up to everybody in this room to try and break the generational unemployment and to support the drug rehabilitation agencies like Willow and the Dara Project. And all that. And I think the opening of the new food hub in the model school on the Dublin Road, and it's going to make a big difference. Like, it's going to train chefs and train people in the food industry. Mm-hmm. And hopefully we'll get the funding for that soon.
I'm going to come back to some of the positives and some of the good news that we've seen here in Athy. I want to bring Clem Ryan in as well. Clem, of course, CEO of KFM, but a resident in Athy for the last 40 plus years. And Clem, tell us a little bit about the changes that you've seen down through the years here in Athy.
Well, unlike Colm, I'm here longer, actually, than Colm Walsh and there. I've had a lifetime here in the town. And when I came to town first, back in the 70s, Athy was a vibrant town. We all know that. It had big industries that have been mentioned already. The Minches, the Tegwell, the annual procession of tractors that went almost from Athy to Carlow Town for the sugar factory. That disappeared, not the fault of Athy. But I would have seen over the years my impression of Athy, and it was Kildare's prime market town back in the late 60s. What happened to it? I mean, why did it become forgotten? Much of that can be to do with the dynamic of the Greater Dublin Commuter Belt and the way things happened. Now, the new road has been mentioned. I've seen the town virtually die on its feet over the years. I would take issue with the fact that it hasn't. It has. And one of the bleakest things that you can encounter in Athy is to see the number of closed up shops that have been over the years. Things are improving, but the overall, and when you speak to people outside Athy, and this is one of the things, because in here in the town, you can have a very subjective view of it. The perception of Athy outside, and I know Mark Wallace thrown his hands up now because, but this is not about, you know, saying all the nice things and good things. But my memory about the new road is that the new road is more an answer to the total bottlenecking of this town that went on for 20, 30, 40 years. And rather than attracting inward investment, my concern is that it's a route out of the town. And that those new the new housing estates that have been built here, they're occupied mostly by people who have come this far south, like everywhere else, because for affordable housing relative to Dublin, their social and career focus is Dublin.
Okay.
And they're commuting to and fro. So just as a resident of the town for 40 plus years, yes, of course, I'm delighted to see that there is a more positive focus on the town now than there used to be. But for anybody to present a picture that everything is fine and will be all right, I think an awful lot of it is giving hostages to fortune.
Nobody's saying that.
I mean, I do disagree with you, and I gave you the figure that was said to me by a prominent business here. Their business is up 30%. You know, that's nothing to be dismissed at.
From what? 30% from what? But no. I mean, in fairness.
Oh, can I just come in for a sec? Sorry, Eva. Let's you back in a second. Look, Clem is after speaking from a viewpoint from living in the middle of the town and looking outwards. And again, I want to speak from maybe somebody outside the town looking inwards. And I was trying to make the point that Clem was making about the 70s and the 80s without having a distinct memory from then, and Clem probably would have far more eloquently than I could. But he's right. I mean, you know, nobody's here denying that Athy has been under severe pressure for the last 25, 30 years. But I think what we're acknowledging is the progress we've made in the last 5 or 6 years. I think, Clem, the first mooting of, you know, the Inner Relief Road was 1968, was the first drawing the Kildare County Council brought up, and it didn't happen for whatever reason. We don't want to go back there for 40 years, but now it has happened. And I think the great thing about the SDR is the fact that, you know, the width of the cycle path and the footpath and the linkages into the town, that was only literally added on to the job in the last week before it was going to construction. So in many ways, the SDR is something better than it could have ever been for a lot of other towns. And you're right. And I think everybody has touched on the opportunities. We have a blue way coming into town now that's opening up in a couple of months. Where Athy is going to be at the end of it because of what happened further down the line, you know, in other places. But that's a massive opportunity of tourism. We speak about the dereliction. You know, every town in the country is being re-envisaged at the moment as at the centre of the town needs to be lived in. Athy is probably one of the best examples where the centre of the town, through their dereliction, that leads to antisocial behaviour in certain areas and certain corners, through people not living, not shopping, not doing businesses in certain parts. And you're 100% right, Clem. It's up to public representatives, but it's also up to businesses. and the owners of these premises to buy into the Croí Cónaithe scheme, to buy into the 50,000, 70,000 dereliction grants that are now available. Probably late in the day for a tie, but they're there now and it is happening. And, you know, we only did had a walkabout with our roads engineers a couple of weeks ago as a bunch of public representatives to see what the next step is. I look at the SDR as just the beginning. It's not the end as a solution that, to all of the problems of the last 40 years.
Okay, I want to open it up to the floor again.
Of what can happen.
I want to open it to the floor again. Mark Wall.
Clem, just to be sure of what I'm saying here tonight, nobody can deny that 20, 30, 40 years ago, we had the wallboard and all other factories that Colm has said. And for my lifetime and most of the people in this room, the last 20 years, and we're all relatively young in the political sense, we have spent our life fighting to develop a tie and to counteract the argument that's been put here by some people tonight that a tie is dying. Because when I walked into Kildare County Council, the first day I did walk into them, that was what was said to me. All you ever come up here is talking about dying. So I spent my first day saying, I will not say that anymore. I'll create the positivity that we need in a tie. I'll fight for the road. And every breath I took, I fought for the road. And the road is an opening. And that's what I want to stress here tonight. It's not an opening for people to go somewhere. It's an opening for people to come back into the town. As has been said by Councillor Breslin here tonight, it's an opening for people to come back and do business in the town. And as Ivan has said, the councillors have already met with the engineer to ensure that people can safely walk through the town of Athy. I have met 5 businesses in the last month. Councillor Bain has said the same. She's met a similar one who want to invest in Athy. The reason they want to invest in Athy is because before we got the road and before I fought along with a lot of others in this room for it, people were saying that we would never get it. We now have it, and we now have the opportunity, not for people to go out of town, but for people to come live in the best town in Ireland. That's what a tie is, and that's what we're saying tonight as councillors. And what I am saying to you is that a tie is the best town in Ireland for one reason only. They have the best people in Ireland, the best potential in Ireland. That's what they have. What we're doing now, Clem, and you can shake your head all you like, what we're doing now, we were going nowhere because I spoke to people. I spoke to the bus transporters who would not come into a tie because they said they couldn't get through it. I spoke to business people who said they would not invest in a tie because they couldn't come through it. Those same people are coming back to me now and saying, yes, Mark, it's different. We want to invest in a tie. That's what we're all saying here tonight. And that's what's going to happen in a tie. Because I've told you that we've met with people who have job opportunities for a tie, who want to come in. And that's what's going to happen. And I will, with my last breath, fight for that. And I think that's what the people of a tie, as I've said to you, are beginning to realise. We now have an opportunity for this great town. And I will stress with every breath I take, it is a great town.
Thomas Redmond, sorry. Come back in there, and Vera Louise.
I'm not great in these rocking chairs. Just to be clear, I am like all of these people, and I'm not going to turn this into a political argument, but we're meeting people, every one of us here, on a daily basis. And I can tell you my own experience of meeting people. One, there are, you know, people, they'd love to see the Shackleton Museum there. They'd love to see the building there, for the catering building built. They're not built. Work has been beginning since 2017. Work has been beginning since 2017. I have a photograph standing with some of these politicians up there about 5 years ago. So work isn't... Before I came here tonight, I looked at the agenda for the next council meeting. And there was 2 politicians, one of them is not here, and one of them is here, asking for time frames on that building. When are they going to actually see work? So if somebody can tell me about time frames or what they actually know... Because people on the streets of Athy, they know that there isn't going to be piles of jobs out of that. Granted, there's going to be training opportunities.
Vera Louise Bean, I think you were asking a question to the council recently about this and in relation to Emily Square. So are we still looking for timelines, or do we have timelines from the council on this? Anthony, just on that, because you said Athy has one of the highest addiction rates in the country. And again, we go back to the unemployment, the highest unemployment in the county at 14%. And there might be accusations levelled that people are burying their head in the sand. Do you believe that people are burying their head in the sand in this and don't want to open their eyes that the problems are ongoing here in Athy and nobody's listening?
Well, I have to be careful about saying people are burying their heads in the sand. But and it could be people outside of this room, so I'm not going to cross any swords with people, you know, that are supporting us, you know, especially in the town. Like, you know, we have support from local councillors. And they have brought in, you know, substantial funding for us already. But at the end of the day, though, like, there has to be a government plan. And I think there has to be, you know, some thinking where they sign up some of these community agencies and government agencies to work together. There's none of that. Well, not from what we can see anyway. Like, surely if there is a drug plan for a Thai, you know, a number of community groups within the town should be brought together to make them, I suppose, part of the plan to get the, like Sharon, who's the founder here, she has all the background information about, you know, how big the problem is in Atai, what to do about it, and like she's put in place, you know, the roadmap to tackle some of the problems around addiction, and particularly cocaine, which is becoming normalised in the town.
Mm. Colm Walsh, again, I want to go back to you, Colm, as a long-time resident here of Atai, 60 years. Was that always a problem within the town, or do you feel as though, from listening to Anthony, that this has gotten progressively worse, or is there something being done about it?
My day job, I work in addiction services, so I'm aware it's money is always an issue, and funding is always an issue, and who gets the funding and who doesn't get the funding is always an issue. The idea of a community plan to deal with addiction is a very good idea, because it's only when you get all the players on the pitch that you have actually, maybe football's a wrong analogy at the moment. There's no harm in doing that, even outside of that being funded, to get people together to talk. There is the task force networks, and Kildare actually has the Southwest Regional Drug and Alcohol Task Force. That maybe that's, you know, we need to liaise with that. But was there always an addiction problem in the town? I mean, whether it was alcohol, or whether it was gambling, or whether it's now drugs. Don't forget that, you know, that people like Sister Concilio and the great Walter Clancy started Coonmire in Atai. So it's although there was always problems, there was also people willing to step up and look for solutions as well. And God knows, I mean, it's a funny boast to have, but Coonmire, that started in Stanhope Place in Atai, is now one of the largest addiction groups in Ireland.
Yeah, but can I just come in there? Coonmire serves, you know, the national population. Like, it's not for the community problem of Atai that you know, there are some people from Atai, you know, getting help from Coonmire, but they're not set up to deal with the problem of, you know, the growth of drugs in Atai. And the other problem, which is going to become more of a problem, is crack cocaine. Because that's even more difficult to deal with. I don't know, like, if you know, is the awareness out there, you know, of you know, how much of a problem is coming down the line in terms of crack cocaine and addiction issues and mental health issues in general.
I know that we have a great community guard here at the moment, and he's breaking barriers down in communities that traditionally weren't, well, guard, sorry, traditionally weren't, you know, there. And I think that is the start of it. That's the start of breaking the cycle. We need more guards. Vera held a meeting in Castle Dermot recently. It was extremely well attended. And thanks, Vera, for the invite. And can I just say, the guards that were there, the senior guard, explained that Atai has a really low rate of Garda presence. I mean, a really low rate. For such a high presence of drugs and
It's countywide. Kildare has the lowest number of Gardaí per head of population.
But Atai particularly is extremely low towards other towns and other counties. And I mean, I live here, I live 50 metres from here. I can tell you, it's been a long time since I've seen a guard walking up and down the town, to be honest with you. I know the community guard goes in, he meets different groups and that, but we need more guards here in this town. We need to stop the epidemic of drugs. That's really...
Right, it's Ivan, do you want to respond to that?
Yeah, and look, we had our JPC, our Joint Police Committee meeting last Monday. We had a really, really good conversation with the Chief Super around, you know, maybe reconfiguring the Garda. It is a problem, Tommy, you're absolutely right. And in spite of overall Garda numbers nationally rising, I suppose Atai does fall behind, because, to be honest with you, I think there's a lack of appetite there within the Gardaí to get guards into Atai for a lot of the reasons that we've spoken about here today. But to touch on the positivity again, Owen, like, going forward... I mean, you know, I keep hearing this argument like I heard 5 or 6 years ago about the road. If only we could get the road and everything. But, and that was the conversation that was had. And now it's kind of, if only we could get a Pfizer, if only we could get an Intel, then all of our problems would be solved. They won't be solved. And they will be solved in increments by growth and by allowing the town to grow. And what the town wasn't allowed to do for over 30 years time was grow because of congestion. That was basically it. I'm blue in the face for the last 5 or 6 years telling people to buy houses the far on the Kilkenny side of the town because I know they were going to go up by 20 or 30% as soon as that road opened. And I don't mean to be gone on it, but the road. The other major infrastructure problem, and we always talk in the MD, and I'm blue in the face again going on about a Tyne being a rural town. It is a rural town. It's classified under Orbach as a rural town. It's a population of under 10,000. And again, Newbridge and Ace is flying ahead, heading for 30,000. A tie is now only starting to grow, and growth will solve some of the problem. And I'll just point to the rural broadband scheme. We're all seeing wires going up poles all around a tie town. My own brother, the youngest of seven, is now working from home 5 days a week, just to give you an example. So the amount of people that can make a living working in IT, he works in insurance, working across industries from home because of good fibre broadband. Okay. That's the future, and that's an example of how Atai is going to be helped to grow and to grow out with some of the problems that we're talking about here.
Okay,
about.
Let's finish up then with those positives, and I want to go to Mark Lee again. And Mark, just get your assessment of some of the great community groups that are here, football clubs that are here, dance club, the social aspect of it, that are again trying to deal with the antisocial behaviour, but at the same time are a great outlet for younger people.
Yeah, and we have so many sports clubs in Atai, and I think sport is so popular in Atai that unfortunately we have a scarcity of pitches, but that problem might be solved soon with new pitches up at the Fort Barrington Road to be developed by Kildare County Council. So from the positivity side, it's great to see so many young people playing sports. Playing hurling has come back into Atai. It's Atai Hurling Club are thriving. Camogie, Gaelic soccer, all the traditional field sports. But from outside of that, I'm involved with the tennis club. There's membership is way up in the tennis club. Gymnastics club had to work towards getting a new building, which I have planning permission for now, because the gymnasium in Atai is too small. So.
And just to pick up on that, Aoife Breslin as well, it's not only about sports clubs, but like if the Family Resource Centre is doing great work in Atai.
I mean, if you look at the work that they've been doing and have been doing over the last couple of years, you look at Connect 5, the Porrick, Dunn is now running and stuff like that. There's fantastic work being done. Yeah, it's only been happening in the last couple of years, but we have identified the problems. We're trying to resolve the problems. It's like the Willow, and I'm glad I'm a member of the board of Willow, as is Mark Wall. I mean, and only by having these conversations and putting it out there. And Willow's very unique in the way it works. I mean, it is now working with people who are still active in addiction, you know, to trying to get them. And we have acknowledged that there is a problem. Yes, we're underfunded, completely underfunded. But it's only there having that conversation that maybe we'll attract funding. And if KFM would like to fund or to help fund us, by all means do. We're looking for corporate sponsorship. So maybe that's something he could look at. But look, coming back, in relation to Emily Square, we have now applied to the Just Transition for funding. We're expecting to have a decision with that in the next couple of weeks. You can't deny that the scaffolding is up on the Shackleton Museum, so that will happen unless we're going to take down the scaffolding and all start again from scratch. So there is huge positivity. And I think, you know, whatever else happens within politics, we all wear the same jersey when it comes to this end of the town or this end of the county. We're trying to promote it. We're trying to do the best we can. Yes, we've had knocks in a thigh. And Clem, you are right. We've had difficult times. But those days I think are over. I think we need to be positive. We need to push it on. And I know when we, as a political entity, go in round the chambers, you know, there are people from North Kildare looking and saying, now what are you getting now down south of the county? Because there is a kind of bias that there is investment coming south of the county where it was lacking for so long, but it is coming true. By working together, we can do it. Not pulling each other apart, but by working together. You know, we have to be positive. This town has a great spirit. You look at, like, the Young at Heart and groups like that, the work that they do. We need to capture that. We need to develop it. Now, go back to the point in the dereliction. We now have a specific section of the council that's trying to deal with that. You will see several of the businesses in Athy with CPOs on them, several of the houses with CPOs on them. They're coming back through the council. They're coming back that they will be there for people to be able to open up businesses and move forward. So let's be positive. Yes, we can sit around here for the night and say, Jesus, that's awful, this is awful, that's awful. We're here to move Athy forward, not hold it back.
Thomas Redmond, you'd have to agree with the sentiments that Aoife has mentioned there. I mean, you've Emily Square, you've the Model Drinks Hub, the Shackleton Museum, the Barrow Blueway. There's a flood relief scheme now being set out for Athy, the great work that's being done, etc., etc. And even in St. Vincent's Hospital, where you would be very familiar with getting some good news in recent weeks.
Yes, absolutely, yeah. And I would agree with most of what the Aoife had said, but in particular in St. Vincent's, there is a drastic need for new beds and new wards. It's going out to tender with a start date next year, a two-phase building. It's going to be the absolute pearl of the oyster in South Kildare when it comes to older persons' care. We have an integrated ICPOP team up there, providing services to the general community. We have a Meals on Wheels service that I extended out to about 75 people now. And I would plan working with the HSE to roll it out to the Castledermot area as well.
Right.
So there is a lot of positives happening in Athy. You can't, you know, you can't walk down the town without A, seeing dereliction, and B, looking for answers. People want answers. People want time frames. More particularly, it's time frames.
Okay.
We shouldn't be just talking about the Southern Distributor Road. We should now be talking about a pedestrian bridge, a Northern Road, and all the other things that are needed in this town.
Labour Senator Mark Wall.
Owen, when you asked us to come tonight, you spoke of positivity and what we thought where Athy was. And I've laid out my stock here tonight, and I will always say what I have said tonight. But look, if we want to get into the politics of stuff about Garda numbers, and Thomas said, and he is right, in fairness, that there is challenges for Athy. Don't anyone leave this room tonight not knowing that there's challenges at Athy, as Anthony and indeed Colin have said as well. But the problem with that is that if we go out the door and we start burying our heads like people have done in the past, then Athy is going to remain with those problems. So what I'm saying to people tonight is, let's put the Athy shirt on, as people in this room have done to the greatest extent. Let's go out there and sell our town. Let's sell the road. Let's sell the road. And let's not concentrate on the road. You're right, Tom. Let's not concentrate on the road. Let's concentrate on the people, the potential. When you talk about the derelict buildings that has been mentioned here today, I'm daily on to the Kildare County Council in relation to it, asking for updates, giving them word. And only today, we were talking about 3 and 4 that would be coming back into public use. And that is daily with people in this room. So let's get the jersey on. Let's get after Kildare County Council. They have invested in Athy, as has been said. There's a bit more to be done. But by God, we have an opportunity to sell Athy. And it's our best opportunity that we've had in an awful long time. And tonight, let's get out through that door. I'm just wishing everyone the very best of luck.
Colin Walsh, just want to finish up with you. And we can't not mention the musical influence here in Athy. It's, you know, there's many sessions have been had in Clancy's Pub up there. And, you know, I know you do great work in Maid of Athy. You know, tracing back famous people's roots to Athy. Johnny Marr is going to be coming here in June. It's another very important social group and work that you do here in Athy. Tell us a bit about it briefly.
Well, the Maid of Athy project celebrates music, and the part of music has played forever in Athy. Athy being both a garrison town and a market town, there was always a market for music, which kind of came down through the families. So what we've done was we brought back some of those second generation Athy families, like Johnny Marr's family, who were the Marrs, and the Doyles from McGainey, and Manny from the Stone Roses, and John Marr from the Buzzcocks, and numerous others. What we did was we celebrated their families' connections to the town, and which has paid off now that Johnny is going to come back and play Dreamland Ballroom. 1,000 tickets went on sale for that. They sold in 6 minutes. You know, there's a romance to that, and there's a romance to the town, and there's a romance to celebrating working class history as well as the Shackletons and that. But it's of the town, and those people kind of respond to the fact that those families are of the town. They would have been brought up in Manchester. Manny from the Stone Roses came to the town, and we met out at McGainey Graveyard, and he brought his two twins with him, and he walked through the graveyard and he said, "This is your Uncle Jack's grave. This is where my granny is buried. This is where," and he'd carried that map of the graveyard in Magheny in his head all his life. Mm. And it just shows you that if we can tap into those roots of people who come from the town and have gone on and done great things, they're only waiting for an invitation to come back.
I would echo what Senator Wall had said, and with regards to speaking positively, you can keep work. We all work on that.
The funding models that we're talking about, you know, will tell us otherwise. Per head of population, Atai is not getting any less than anywhere else. I'll give one example. Let's say the Family Resource Centre. Atai didn't have a Family Resource Centre up a couple of years ago, 3 years ago. That was newly funded by the government. Just as one example, we had a primary care centre up there that was built for 11 million. Like, it's not that Atai is not getting funded. Atai has got over 100, talk about, not necessarily about addiction on its own, but in general healthcare, in general infrastructure, Atai is the best funded county in Kildare.
Thanks to Labour Senator Mark Wall, Councillors Aoife Breslin, Mark Lee, Fine Gael Councillor Ivan Keatley, Fianna Fáil Councillor Vera Louise Behan, Sinn Féin Rep Thomas Redmond, Colm Walsh of Maid of Atai, and Anthony Wise from Willow Counselling Service here on Woodstock Street. Thanks indeed for joining us on this discussion on Atai.